to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail, a preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's enerfood.com. enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, August 16th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. My friends, today is going to be a very, very special program, because today you are going to hear some very important information. You're also going to hear about a warning. This warning needs all of your undivided attention. It needs to be prayed about, and it needs to be considered. And I am hoping that if enough people pray about what you're about to hear today, it can be stayed, postponed, or prevented. So please, my friends, share this program with everybody that you know, your friends, your families, your pastors, everyone that you know, my friends. But I'm also mindful of today's spiritual and moral temperature. And, you know, folks, I do not know if there will be enough people, unfortunately, that will care enough to bombard heaven with the request that I'm making right now. Therefore, because of that possibility and because of that variable, this event may not be prevented. Folks, I do not know. If it is not prevented, then a lot of people need to be getting right with God as I speak. And in today's program, I'm going to share the full details of a recent prophetic dream. But before I begin, I want it to be on record that I do not have a date for this event, my friends. I don't know when this is going to happen, the things that we're going to talk about today. So for those of you in the affected areas, I do not know when. My vision had no date. And I'll also say this, Dimitri Dudeman did not give a date with his vision, and Brother David Wilkerson's visions also had no date. And neither does mine. However, there's a possibility that these events are impending. It's possible that they're near and very soon to occur. Why? Because of the present weather that's outside of our doors right now. Judgment has arrived. Judgment is raging, and it's beyond debate. And it is time for all of us to make sure that our houses are swept clean and spiritually ready. Now, last week, I shared a portion of a recent prophetic dream. I did not share everything. At that time, I was not ready. I called some of my friends to get counsel, and I also called up Steve Quell. One of my friends even told me, Nathan, if you do not share this warning, and if it ends up happening, you could have blood on your hands. And I thought about it, and I knew that he was right. My friends, I do not want blood on my hands. So today, I'm going to share all the details of this dream. And here to help me talk about this impending warning is my brother and friend, Steve Quell. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am, Nathan. What a sobering time. And The irony will be that people will see that God in his foreknowledge loves his creation and wants his people to turn to him in repentance, because there was no way I would literally be at the place, and probably the most strategically important place in the Hawaiian Islands, and you be given the dream. But let me let you give your the vision, the dream that the Lord gave you, and your concern for it, and then I'll share how I ended up in the very point of the warning that the Lord gave you, and I'll share the warning that the Lord gave me, and the circumstances are almost too unimaginable to believe. So would you lay it out, and then you call me in when you want me to explain where I was, at what time, what the Lord spoke to me, and how it was identical to you, that you tried to get a hold of me, etc. Because it's your vision, and I got to tell you, after you and I spoke, Nathan, we should tell the people this. You and I haven't spoken on the phone for months and months. You had no idea where I was at. You had no idea where I was going. So this isn't, anything outside of mind-blowing love and mercy of the living God to warn his people.
Okay, Steve, thank you. Yeah, I'll share it. I actually typed it up, and after this program airs, I'm going to be uploading this on my website. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to my website and download the prophetic warning. But here goes. I had this prophetic dream on the night of August 4th. That would have been last Thursday, between Thursday and Friday. As the dream began, I was standing in front of a bookshelf filled with many books. I reached for a book on one of the shelves, and I pulled it out. I don't know why I chose this particular book, but the title of the book began with the word nuclear. The title also had some other words. I don't remember what the other words were, but I do remember the word nuclear. So I began to randomly thumb through the book, and I opened it. And as soon as the book was opened, I was immediately transported to a different location. I was suddenly high in the air, and I was looking down on all of the Hawaiian Islands. I could see the northwest island of Kauai, as well as the southeast big island of Hawaii. And within seconds, this is the part that I left out of what I shared last week, folks. Within seconds, as I was looking at the state of Hawaii, I saw a missile flying towards Hawaii. It was coming in from my left, or from the west, which would be from the direction of Asia. It approached from a very high point in the sky, and it left a vapor trail behind it. I know that this was a missile. As it got nearer to Hawaii, it began to arch down and aim towards Honolulu. Now, Honolulu is on the island of Oahu, and as it approached Honolulu, the word Honolulu appeared over the city in black letters. I actually saw it like I was looking at a map. The missile then exploded over Oahu, where Honolulu is found, into a circular flash of white heat. The fireball totally covered the island of Oahu, and it reached as far as Maui to the southeast. As I was looking at this, Steve, I was just amazed that I just watched Hawaii get nuked. And of the four largest Hawaiian islands, the explosion covered Oahu and Maui. It didn't cover or reach the top island or the bottom island. Within a few seconds of the explosion, Steve, this is the other part I left out. I saw the numbers. They appeared over Hawaii, the numbers 1,100,000. They appeared over the flash of light. The numerals were glowing yellow, orange in color, and I immediately knew that this number represented people. Now, while I was watching this vision, I actually, in my dream, argued with the number, because I didn't know what the population of Hawaii was, and I began to say to myself, Hawaii only has 600,000 to 800,000 people. This number cannot be right. Suddenly, I was then transported to a new location. I was then again in the air, and this time I was looking down on the state of Washington. Again, I saw another missile, vapor trails behind it coming from the west, and the missile crossed most of Washington. It went over the Cascades, and it headed straight towards Spokane. As I saw it approach Spokane, I found myself arguing with the vision. Steve, I didn't like this one because I live about an hour away from Spokane, and I was waiting for another flash of light, for another fireball, but it never came in this vision. In this vision, I was so bothered about the missile dropping over Spokane that I wanted to see what the damage was. And as I thought to myself, what is the damage to Spokane? Suddenly, I was on a hilltop along the border of Idaho and Washington, about 20 miles from Spokane, looking in the direction that faced west towards Spokane. And this is the part that was interesting. And Steve, in this program, I want to ask you about this and get your thoughts. But as I looked and searched for a mushroom cloud over Spokane, I was not able to see a mushroom cloud because my view was obscured by a different thick cloud that was hovering over the city. This cloud that was blocking my view was not a normal cloud. It almost resembled those dust storm clouds that you see. We saw the video over Phoenix recently, and it looked like that, except there wasn't dust trapped inside of moving wind. This wasn't a dust storm cloud. It just hovered over Spokane. And the texture of this cloud resembled what you would see in a thunderstorm. And the odd thing about it was almost like smoke that was at ground level, and it went up almost 30 to 50,000 feet. The other odd thing about this cloud was it was orange gray in color, and there were flashes of ball lightning within the cloud, and it was flashing sporadically. And I kept wishing that this cloud would dissipate or move out of the way so I could see if the city had been damaged. And within a few seconds, the cloud started to rise just a few hundred feet, and then I could peek under the cloud, and I was able to see that the buildings were intact. So I don't know what caused this. I don't know if it was a dud. In the dream, I was even wondering, was that a dud? And the thought occurred to me, though, because I saw the electricity, I wondered if it was an EMP, but I don't know what it would be. So after I had that dream, Steve, I woke up. I was very disturbed. I ran to the computer, and I wanted to find out what the population of Hawaii was because I saw the numbers, 1,100,000. So I Googled Hawaii. I opened up an atlas. My son was in the office with me, and as he opened up the atlas, I saw that between Oahu and Maui, there's two other small islands that are sparsely populated. So he read off the numbers, and that morning when I typed in the populations of the four islands, I got the population total of 1,106,000 was the population of these islands. Now, today, before the program, I did it again, but the population numbers are, I guess, based on the census that you read. So today, I was able to pull up 1,118,000. But nevertheless, Steve, it was 1,100,000 and then some change. So I then called up some friends. I called up you on Friday. I left a message with you, and I emailed you several times. And then finally, you called me back on Thursday, I believe. And Steve, let's go from there.
Well, what Nathan didn't know, on the 28th of July, I went to the island of Kauai to do the photograph. I wanted to do Kauai from the air. One of the things I do, Nathan, is for relaxation for me, I like to get in a helicopter, take the doors off, get a pilot that knows how to fly, and basically photograph what I believe is one of the most beautiful islands in the world. Now, I didn't know what I'm about to say. When I landed in Hawaii, I was literally in the air over the Pacific Missile Range Facility. Actually, I would be a little bit to the north and east of it. Obviously, there are specific areas that are not allowed to fly over. But the pilot made an interesting statement. He said, man, that radar's turned on. Now, so people understand this, the Nepali coast is one of the most beautifully rugged. And if you went to my website yesterday, there was a picture of the day, and I took over 1,000 photos. So I can safely say that I think I covered the island both at different early morning light and at late evening when the sun was setting. But what was fascinating is I didn't go to Kauai knowing anything about the strategic importance. Now, I'd always known about Honolulu, and I maintained that 2 years ago, and we got a lot of flack over this, but both Hawk and I warned the people that based on sources behind the scenes, we were told that there were North Korean missile launches against Honolulu and against Kauai. Now, I always knew about Honolulu, obviously Pearl Harbor. But as this thing began to unfold, ladies and gentlemen, I was both in the air over this area, and I want to read something, may I?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I'm going to share what the Lord said to me. I live within the context of asking Lord every day, Lord, is this day it? Because God told me to quit worrying about the time, but the event will define the time. That's why I believe God always leaves the true date. I mean, he's not telling Dimitri, he didn't tell David Wilkerson, he isn't telling you, and he isn't telling me a date. But what I am telling you is this, is that my first thought when I found out, just from the helicopter pilot, and then I'll give you another story that blew my mind within 2 days of that, that the specific radar array, you know, they've got a lot of radar domes, and I don't know all the stuff they have. But he said, boy, that's weird. That's turned on. It just must have come on recently because I don't remember seeing it. Now, he flies four times, a day over the Nepali coast, which is the area of what's called the Pacific Missile Range Facility and Barking Sands Naval Base. Now, for people to understand this, this is what was critical. Instantly into my, and understand, I'm in a helicopter. I'm having what I enjoy doing probably more than anything else, photographing from helicopter aerial, landscapes. And instantly the Lord said, this is ground zero, Steve. And I thought, Lord, I'm over here to try and get away from all this stuff. Understand, I go to Kauai to take a break. I'd just written the book. Finally got it published and all that stuff, and I just basically was worn out. And, I get an attitude change when I get alone with the Lord. When I'm out photographing, I get to do what I enjoy most, and that's photograph. But instantly, that thought came into my mind, and I said, man, I don't know anything about Kauai. I was assumed it was Honolulu. Now, let me read something, and this gets more interesting. Because if people will remember, obviously, Pearl Harbor 1, after Nathan and I spoke the first time, and he had no idea it was there, I said, Nathan, God is giving you the vision. At the same time, I'm literally at the tip, what would be the place that would be taken out the first, which would be the Pacific Missile Range Facility. Now, for people, you in the Navy and obviously military know about this, but for the listeners, it's the world's largest instrumented multi-dimensional testing and training range. It's the only range in the world where subsurface, surface, air, and space vehicles can operate and be tracked simultaneously. Now, this allows, range users extraordinary flexibility, but this has control over 42,000 square miles of sea and airspace. And the entire underwater hydrophone system, there's actually two of them, are off the coast of Kauai. And so when a nuclear war starts, the satellite weapons will be used against what are called ASAT weapons. They'll take out the satellites. But here I am, I'm here, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm here on vacation. Why are you showing me this? It gets better, Nathan. The day after I was in the helicopter, I decided, okay, now I photographed the Nepali coast. I'm going to take a Zodiac, which is a high-speed inflatable boat, Navy SEAL style, twin engines, twin outboards, and I'm going to blast up there. So I go up there on a, quote, snorkeling tour, and we're in the rough seas and stuff. And, it's about almost a two-hour trip up there from one of the little inland marinas that is on the coast, on the west coast, and you go up, and then you got to fight some, fight some heavy seas if the wind is blowing wrong. Well, on the way back, okay, I promise you this is the most incredible thing. I'm in the Zodiac, and incoming on landing is a P-3 Orion Subhunter, and it's 100 feet over my head. I was probably 200 yards off of, where the plane would, it's making its final approach. It's coming down, wheels down, everything. And the lady that's the captain of the Zodiac, the lady who was in essence the dive master, the boat captain, she said, what kind of an airplane is that? I've never seen that here. Now, understand, she does this coast thing almost every other day of her life because that's how she makes her living. And so I just blurt out, that's a P-3 Orion Subhunter, and they're hunting for Russian or Chinese nuclear subs right now. Now, no kidding, everybody looked at me, and they said, how do you know that? And I said, well, I just kind of am in a field where I watch that kind of stuff. So understand, Nathan, you're having your vision on the 4th, okay? The day I was on the boat, we returned on the 5th, so that would have been on the 3rd of August. And it blew my mind that the Lord was trying to get my attention. Now, again, I want to share this with people. What I believe is being told to Nathan Leal, and that I was physically in the place that he's getting the dream of, and I'll let you tell about the repentance issue, but this will be the spear point of the attack upon even CONUS, Continental United States. All of our sensors are there, all of our control, and I'm not going to go into anything that is going to get anybody in trouble, but there's so much there that what you see and is obvious is not all that's there. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm not pretending to have secret knowledge. I just know what's there. The bottom line is that this is what I believe God was showing Nathan. I believe this is so close. I'm not saying close meaning next week necessarily or next month. But the fact is that given the dream vision that Nathan had, given my strategic location there, given that I did not talk to Nathan, he did not talk to me, the 1,100,000, and Nathan, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why the discrepancy? He said, Steve, even in judgment will there be a remnant left. Now, Nathan, I don't know the population, if it's, you know, 1,106,000, 1,118,000, or what the true number is, okay? But I got to tell you something. If I do my decimal points right, that doesn't sound like more than, what, about 0.018% people left alive if we take the higher number?
It's not many, Steve.
It's not many. So, again, I want to share with people. When I got to share this too, Nathan. I got goosebumps like I've never got. It felt like, and not this time, it wasn't courtesy of the federal government zapping me. The bottom line, it was like electricity. It was like everything I know to be and have known for 40 years to be the witness of the Holy Spirit. I felt like the Lord said, you have just experienced the second witness. The third is yet to come. Now, I don't know what the third witness is going to be. Maybe you've already gotten it. But I think the thing is the credibility of this. Look, it's one thing to have what I would say are verifications or second witnesses that come 2 or 3, 4, maybe they can be days, weeks, months. But this is in real time. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan's getting the vision. I'm there. God's speaking to me. This is ground zero. And concurrent with ground zero, obviously all the military bases that are in the different Hawaiian islands, on the Big Island and obviously on Oahu, PACCOM, Pacific, the whole, if you will, command, control, and communication for the U.S. Navy in Asia, and that's the intercept point of anything coming our way. Well, Nathan, I want to share something with you. I said, Lord, and I want everybody to pray about this. I know, Nathan, you operate on the same principle I do. You tell the people, listen, take what I'm telling you, take it to the Lord in prayer, and ask Him to give you the witness. If you get no witness, just put it on a shelf and wait, because I've had to wait sometimes years for confirmation for certain things. But here is the scary part. When I say scary, I talked to Omega Man, Bruce Lee, today, and I talked to a lot of people who have been seeing 9-11 and 11-11. Now, you know there's an alert out for 9-11. When this situation happened, and obviously we as American citizens will never know anything, because even if there was a full-scale launch, if they could keep it from the American population, they would, meaning the military, because they want to, according to them, keep panic from ensuing. But the point is that if I am remembering what I was informed by those who intercepted the last assault 2 years ago, and I may be off on 2 years, 2-3 years ago, and, you know, they said, oh, they were just duds, they fell, and they weren't duds. If it hadn't been for the mighty men and women of valor that Hawk and I talk about, and a certain general and his certain walk with God, that whole thing would have had a different ending. So to those of you, the MMVs, thank you for that. But I believe, Nathan, that God is pleading with His people to repent. And I got to share this with you. I put up an article by Doug Hamp saying, does it do any good to pray for America? I don't believe so. I believe we're in judgment. I believe it does every good to pray for every last soul, every lost sheep, every veil to be lifted. Because, again, we are a nation of blood. We have slaughtered, and I use that word slaughtered. We have sacrificed our youngest and our best. And, you know, the thing is that it only gets darker, and we won't talk about the darkness, but the repentance. Did not God tell you, Nathan, I'll turn it back over to you, that tell the people to repent, tell the people in Hawaii to repent?
After last week, when I was just seeking Him for several nights, I spent several hours asking God. I said, God, what do I do with this? What's the message? And the bottom line of the message was, tell everyone that they need to be repenting right now and getting their houses in order. That's the bottom line.
And can I ask you a question? Because you and I don't talk much, you know. Praise God for your time on the radio. Praise God He's doing what He's doing through you in the ministry. But I'm just telling people, there is no different message from Nathan Leal or Stephen Coyle or anybody out there than we got to repent, you know. I am amazed at the lateness of the hour. You know, we hear every day this story, that story, troop movement, this movement, national level exercises, secret meetings, and I'm going to share something. Hawk is going to break some news tonight on Omega Man. He'll be on for 3 hours with Bruce Lee, and if you can listen to that one, listen to it, Nathan, because in the last 48 hours, everything that I have been warning about and that Hawk has been warning about will be the end time deception has gone into play. Everything. And so I'm not saying we're getting ready for an imminent meaning tomorrow or the next day. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, your vision dream from the Lord, my position at the place God was telling you was, going to be attacked, and you actually seen the 1,100,000 number. This is not coincidence. I believe this is the pleadings of a loving God for a wayward people to turn back to Him because judgment is coming. The time is irrelevant because in eternity, look, when you and I die, we go into eternity at a point where we exit time and space and we enter eternity instantly. So it isn't really a question of time, but it is a question of turning to Him. And I believe that in God's Word, He said, surely the Lord God will do nothing except He reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets. He gave you this for a warning. He confirmed it through me. And the third confirmation I've gotten is the number 11. I can't tell you if 9-11 is a redo of 9-11, but I can tell you this. The Luciferians, those who want the kingdom of God destroyed, they absolutely are big on dates, and I'm only telling you this, 9-11, 11-11, it's just showing up, and if I'm not mistaken, there were 11 missiles launched, although it only sounded in the mainstream press that it was just an attempted failure of North Korea. It was far from that. If that number is 11, then I would say point blank that God is giving up a clearer picture as possible. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I'm asking that all the Christians pray in Jesus' name, that believe in God, that are calling upon the name of the Lamb of God, that He will expose the evil, just like He would in His mercy, before the axe falls, before the missiles are fired. And I'm asking God that all of the shenanigans, that something's going to happen, that God's going to strip the veil off, all this secrecy, all this nonsense. When I say nonsense, when people use secrecy to murder and slaughter, you know, wonderful, wonderful image bearers of Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, I get furious. I am not complacent, and if we become complacent, Nathan, look, my first repentance begins with my attitude, with my sin. I can't deal with anybody else's sin. I'm just telling you this. I know this stuff. You know this stuff, Nathan, and it's God's charge to us to warn the people, to prepare the people as best we can. And I think the whole situation with your vision on Spokane is that basically the EMP talk, it's already been planned in. The powers that be will benefit from the EMP tech. Believe me, if it happens at midnight, they'll have all the money transferred out of everybody's accounts and brokerage accounts by 11:30. I mean, they'll make sure that when it goes off, that whoever goes off, ladies and gentlemen, terrorism is nothing more than foreign policy of someone, somewhere, doing the dirty deeds with plausible deniability. It's the same way it's always worked. You do it, you blame someone else. So I believe that it's either an EMP attack, and because God didn't show you any fatalities and the buildings were intact, It would have to be three things. Now, didn't you tell me it was an orange-colored smoke or an orange-colored goo or something?
Yes. Yeah, orangey-looking.
Orangey. Now, what's interesting about that is obviously we all know about Agent Orange. So that was something that was sprayed in Vietnam. There are a lot of veterans today that are either have died or are dying even slowly now as I speak on the radio. May God deliver them and bless them. And restore them, those who are still living. The point is that there's a series of biological weapons. I wrote a book called Breathe No Evil. I'm not pitching, I'm just telling you. And there's a series of chemical weapons that you can combine a chem bio weapon too. And the interesting stuff about the, if you will, the chemical agent in a binary chem biological weapon is it keeps the virus or the viral, pathogen alive. In other words, it's like a liquid petri dish. That's what you usually culture certain things in. That's what you see the scientists looking at under microscopes or electron microscopes, whatever. So I don't have a word from the Lord on that, okay? I don't know if he's saying EMP tech, but based on the orange color of it, I would tend to believe, and the lightning in it, the lightning would be the electrical discharge, not just associated with a single EMP pulse, but the fact is that you can electrostatically charge different biological pathogens and chemical agents, and you can literally, if you will, supercharge them. So that's maybe what you've seen, a supercharged chemical biological weapon being launched against the West Coast.
Okay. Well, folks, we're at the middle of the break. On the other side, we're going to continue this talk. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, August 16th. Before the break, we were hearing from our guest, Steve Quayle, about trying to help me to understand and make sense of a recent prophetic dream and vision that I had. And we were talking about what it could be. We were talking about what it could be in Oahu as well as in Spokane. And Steve, I have a few questions I want to ask you, but before I move on, I wanted to mention two things. We were talking about the number 11 that you mentioned, Steve, and when we look at the number that I saw over the explosion, it was 1,100,000, but the first two digits are 11. Isn't that interesting?
Right, and may I just say this? Add into this that the 11, 11, 11 is triple digits. You add that, that's 3 times 1133. There's the Luciferian signature. So I got to tell you, I think God is more than telling you who's behind it, and I don't know if it'll be 9-11 or 11-11-11.
On June the 16th, 2010, it was on June 15th, I had a very long prayer session where I was seeking God, and I was at that time praying about the oil spill. I was asking him for insight and more details, and I was asking him, God, what's going to be the end of these things? And when he answered, he actually answered with things that I didn't expect, Steve. And it was then that the Holy Spirit gave me a very grim warning of future things to come. And he said, Nathan, get your prayer journal, get a pen and paper. I'm going to talk to you and I want you to write down what I say. And then he said, and after I tell you this, I want you to publish it. I published it back then and you might have heard it. It was on your website, I believe, for a day, but it was called a prophetic word, the burden of the great city. And Steve, I want to just read it real quick because this city is talking about an American city that's going to get destroyed at some point in the future by, I believe, a nuclear explosion. And as I read this, listen to the location description that was given by the Holy Spirit. Here goes. A fearsome woe is upon the land. His hand of judgment moves over the waters. The cup is full of mixture, mired with the deeds of man. Behold, the cup is poured out. There is more to consider. For in that day, before the eyes of the people, there shall be grief and sorrow. The carcasses of many shall be strewn upon the sands of polluted waters. The hearts of many will fail in disbelief. Their eyes shall behold a horror. They will be stricken with sadness. They shall be in want of a better day. Death will strike the heart of the proud. Prepare for a great woe. And now it goes into some detail. A mighty wind will descend from the sky. The clouds will dissolve before their eyes. Anguish shall be upon the land. It shall be with strength and fervor, and none shall be at rest. A burden shall arrive at the great city. A shaking will rock the ground. The ferries and the ships shall reel to and fro. There will be shipwreck. The cargo will release and be lost. Burning clouds shall cover the face of the land. They shall gasp as they behold the darkness overshadowed with blackened smoke. The dead shall be sifted from the living. The breath of destruction shall be mighty and wide. The great city shall melt like burning pitch and give birth to many fires. A banner will proclaim this tale. A banner lifted high with no celebration or comfort. A banner shall replace their wants with soulful mourning. A banner without a victory. A banner proclaiming defeat. The city shall be poisoned. Woe to this city, for great pain has arrived. Who will watch and who will be among the fallen? The storm has begun. The wind shall arrive. The conquest approaches. The great nation will fall to the ground. There shall be a great spoil. The eve of destruction has passed. Her appointment is at hand. Only a remnant shall endure. Only those that seek his face shall find comfort and mercy. Steve, to this day, I don't know what city that's prophesying. It could be several cities, actually, but when it mentioned the ferries and the ships, whatever the city is, it's going to be near the coastlines, or could it be Honolulu? After this vision, I was wondering about it. So anyway, I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, I think the two, and someone can correct us, they can either email you or me, but when you say that, the great city is usually always a reference to New York. If you talk about the ferries that are going on and everything, even Seattle. Now, Seattle obviously is on the West Coast, and it has a lot of ferries and stuff. But the point is that the great city, I would say that in the context of Revelation, is talking about, you know, financial Babylon. So I would, unless the Lord shows me different, I know of no other cities that have that in the continental United States that have as much ferry traffic as New York. Now, obviously, Vancouver might, but I'm just saying that it just got to tell you, if you're talking about the judgment of Almighty God, it sounds like to me it's going to be on New York.
Okay. Well, I have a few questions that I had written down beforehand, Steve, that I just wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
I know that privately when we were on the phone, you told me that you believed that North Korea would be behind something like this. But this is the question that I'm just wondering about. Is this going to be conducted by the axis of evil nations, or could it actually be a false flag? You know, right now Obama's numbers are at record low, so he needs something like this. What do you think?
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. The Illuminati controls it all, okay? Even North Korea. Notice who they run to when they need help. They run to China. I think that it will be basically treacherous people. I told my radio audience years ago that we are now living in the age of double cross, triple cross, and quadruple cross, meaning everybody is going to double cross everybody. And so the thing is that North Korea is used as a proxy. A proxy is someone that basically provides the technology. Obviously, they're the ones that are the most openly belligerent, but if you're secretly belligerent, if you can stealthily make war on another nation or inflict damage or whatever on another nation and blame, you know, North Korea get the blame now. It seems like every single other month, if not every other week, North Korea heats up. They make more threats. They had last week they had a couple rounds of artillery between them firing, etc. So the thing is, Nathan, I think that you've got to understand that the Illuminati must destroy the old world, and that's why it's starting in London, by the way. I always said 10 years ago, it'll start in London, spread to the rest of the world from there. And because the Illuminati has to self-immolate, that means everything that they've even participated in up until this point, building their buildings, they believe they tear it down, literally burn it down, blow it up, whatever, and then out of the ashes will the coming one, the Antichrist, that he will cause a new Luciferian civilization to arise in its ashes. So what I'm telling you is this. It is the Illuminati. They are planning a global war. The bottom line is Obama's numbers are down, so a false flag is imminent, and that's where I think the different numbers. Now, there are multiple postings all over the Internet on the different cities that are going to get attacked. But I can tell you this, New York and Los Angeles are on Dr. Jonathan Hansen's vision that he had years ago, and those are the two, for the record, that Henry Groover, who walks and remits the sins of cities to bring about restoration, is not allowed to walk in. He won't say that, but I can tell you just by what he doesn't say, those are two cities. So those cities are appointed unto judgment. I actually talked to a very, very famous believing general, and even the general told me, he said, I have been told to stand down by the Lord when the judgment falls on Los Angeles. I can do nothing to stop it. And happened to be the same guy that stopped the Korean missiles that were headed to Honolulu. So this is interesting, Nathan. I think we're there. You know, 33, 3 times 11, 9-11, the false flag. You know that nobody in their right mind believes the standard lie of 9-11, yet no one questions
right.
It. And so we've got to break the hold of the enemy on deception that's over us and on seduction and on entertainment and on mind control. I would like to challenge your listeners tonight, and my listeners, and our mutual listeners, and everyone who's listening to this and will listen to it around the world. ask the Lord, literally, to give you a revelation of how he sees, to show you a vision of what, how television is being used and the movies to not only numb and dumb you down, but to basically make you apathetic, indifferent. And in the next weeks, months coming, the alien card, which I believe are the fallen angels, don't send me any more emails, people, that they're our friendly brothers from space are here to help us, blah, blah, blah. It isn't true. The point is that they are coming to deceive and to destroy. So my take on all this, Nathan, is that we are in for, I would say this, it all at once. It may take 24, 48, 72 hours to sequence, but that means a false nuclear attack, a false flag. There's going to be something that's going to bring about the opposition. Listen, they're not putting all the military in. And my simple question to all those in the Pentagon, since when did the American people, some of your fathers, some of your brothers, mothers, sisters, whatever, since when was there dying for a great country? And I want to make something clear. America is America. It's not Afro-American. It's not Mexican-American. It's not Polish-American. It's not German-American. It's nothing. Americans were Americans because they had a foundational system of belief. So I refuse to ever use anything in front of America outside of this. America needs to repent. Will it? I got to tell you, Nathan, I have sought the Lord on that for 20 years. The answer is no, they will not repent.
I agree with that, Steve. And I remember when we were speaking on the phone, I was ignorant on the strategic and tactical importance of Hawaii. And I was asking you how important Hawaii was. And didn't you tell me that it was like the cortex of the brain, so to speak, for the Pacific?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they take out, listen, if they, and this is what I don't think people understand, and I'm not capable of articulating good enough, but if you take out the whole Barking Sands, that means that the entire West Coast, now obviously we have satellites, but satellites will go down with anti-satellite weapons, that leaves us wide open for full-scale nuclear attack. And by the way, Henry Groover was in my office a couple weeks ago. I missed him because I was out of town. And he basically made the statement to one of my friends, and one of the guys who was in my office, he basically said, my friend asked him, how soon, Henry? And Henry just said, very, very soon. And he asked him about the cities, and Henry's silence was, I believe, indication, because Henry would say, no, the Lord has not shown me that. But it happened to be, again, that when it came to New York and when it came to Los Angeles and some of the other cities. By the way, Nathan, I'm told it's not five cities. I'm told it's more. I do not want to say more, but I'll just put it in range, between 5 and 30, okay? And I'm telling you point blank, as I've went on record, I've seen I'm being quoted on this on somebody else's blog or anything, I have been told by those who find these things, diffuse these things, and basically, we owe our lives to, that these are not old leftover Soviet Union Cold War relics, okay? I just want to share that for anybody that might ask. Because, again, this is not something, these are hybridized weapons bought with the best money that you can get. They're componentized, so you don't need everything from one country. There are basic designs of nuclear weapons. There are hybrid designs of nuclear weapons. And then there are really sophisticated small nuclear weapons. And this is what we're up against. So the thing is that, while everyone plays on and they should be praying on, while everyone's in a virtual world, I believe that the virtual world was designed by Satan to rob people of the ability to see the literal events taking place in time and history in space and get them to repent. In other words, I call it the lullaby of madness, the sleep of death.
Amen, Stephen. And I believe that the messengers and servants of God are God's spies, and he reveals his secrets to his watchmen and his messengers for the sole purpose, the bottom line, is so that the people can be challenged to repent. You know, Steve, so many people right now are still asleep, and they say, rah, rah, America could never get attacked, could never be hurt. But wasn't it on a TV news clip where on accident, a missile was fired off the coast of Los Angeles, and it was caught on camera, and we had no clue, and it was
a Chinese submarine, SLBM, submarine launched ballistic missile. I had missile launch commanders contact me. I actually interviewed one, I think, on the air, or put up at least one of the things that he wrote. I'm sorry. He wrote on my website. I had Learjet pilots tell me, well, I had one Learjet pilot who was obviously working for a certain government agency. Well, that's a Learjet. I said, brother, I used to be a partner in a Learjet charter business. I know the capability of Learjet 31s, 35s, 45s, and 55s, and nothing can climb at a right angle and come out of the ocean. That's unless Bill Lear built an amphibious flying sub like Voyage of the Bottom of the Sea. The thing is, there were hundreds of eyewitnesses off of Catalina Island where this sub chose, and that was to send a message of the Chinese to us. And a friend of mine in the world of black ops said, I think 2 or 3 weeks, and it's irrelevant, but 14 to 21 days, he said that he was informed that in the next 2 to 3 weeks, China was going to send the loudest message that they can send to us without actually launching on us, that you cannot stop us. And that took place. And I tell you this, the brother who told me that was absolutely spot on, and it happened, and then the denial. And do you see how fast this stuff dies in the press?
Oh, yeah.
Meaning they don't. Okay, that's because they are controlling the absolute every avenue, and that's why they want to kill ultimately the internet and kill talk radio.
And Steve, wasn't that cruise liner that lost all their power? Do you believe there was an association between these two events?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
There was a cruise liner ship that was dead in the water for 5 days. They lost all their power, and I believe it happened around the same time. Was that an EMP over that?
Yes, it was. And Nathan, I apologize. I'm hearing something coming in over us on the phone line. I don't know if it's another broadcast or something, so that's why I'm having to ask you to repeat.
Regarding the powers that be holding off secrets and making sure that people do not have loose lips, can you comment on the recent SEAL team debacle? They killed them all the ones involved in the fake bin Laden heist, Steve.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is that people need to understand that when I make this statement, and please let this filter into everyone. I think you heard me say it one time. I said it on Coast to Coast. But when something like that happens, where a major aircraft or helicopter goes down, the first question you got to ask yourself is who is on it and who benefits the most. By the way, I had a pilot respond. I put up his note on my website. I'm not familiar with everything that the SEAL teams were involved with, but I will tell you this: when that takes place, and that took place, I consider that you had to get rid of people in the know, and I consider it also a sacrifice, okay? If people understood that in the world of Luciferianism and in Satan worshiping, and not so much Satan worshiping because these people in many cases are beyond them, but I would say in their total adulation and reverence for the fallen cherub Satan, and the Bible teaches he was the united cherub that was in the garden, the thing is that what they don't understand is that when you take something, even a man who would be, let's just say this, it's like, if you will, Abraham literally having sacrificed Isaac, and then not only Isaac, but his 29 brothers if he had them. Well, Abraham didn't sacrifice. Abraham was righteous. These men are unrighteous, and the fact that those SEALs knew something and had to be taken away, I believe it was kind of like a double hit, and I am absolutely astonished. I've even had, I won't tell you who, but I've had multiple SEALs who are real SEALs now and are some of the most famous SEALs that have been, okay, email me and say, don't say who I am, just you can say I'm a SEAL. But they said, this thing stinks to heaven. We have our own aircraft. We have our own helicopters. We have our own equipment. We will never allow the operational security of this mission was compromised at the highest level. In other words, when it was bragged out that they took out bin Laden, that absolutely, listen, in the world of military, that their world, that would be a court-martialable offense to give out operational security like that. And, to even put one of the SEALs in the shot of the, war room with the president and Hillary Clinton and all the crew, and then to have Joe Biden, the vice president, shoot his mouth off? I mean, good night. See, this is the problem, Nathan. We're being run by what would be effectively children, but very sinister children. We got Chucky on steroids, okay, running the country. And we've got Chucky's little brother as the vice Chucky. You remember Chucky, the little puppet that comes alive and kills people? I don't know if you're ever familiar with that, but that's what I'm not talking about, some guy that sells pizza. So what I'm saying is that this was a sacrifice, in my opinion. This was a hit, and this was a complete breach of protocol, of training, and operational security.
Well, Mr. Dick Cheney prophesied that the United States was going to go to the dark side in the 100-year war on terror, and boy, howdy have we. Regarding sacrifice, Steve, I guess the powers that be see Hawaii as an expendable, acceptable sacrifice to the altar of the New World Order. And I was talking to Omega Man a few days ago, and he said, you know, Nathan, if they do this, that's like them sacrificing to their fire god, the volcano god, because all they want is souls to be sacrificed to the powers of darkness. They don't care about life.
Well, again, you know, and I just want to answer one guy in the air. Of course, Bill in Texas, I understand that Satan is behind 9/11. Satan is the god of this world. You know, let me ask you this, Nathan. Are you surprised at the willful, woeful, or shameful ignorance of people that should be reading their Bible but don't realize this? And again, Bill, of course I know this. I've been talking about it for 19 years on talk radio. But the thing is, when Jesus said the whole world lies in the evil one, the point that people have to understand is that's Jesus' red-letter statement. Red letter means in the New Testament, all the words of Jesus in a red-letter edition of the New Testament, King James, are in red. But you know what? We don't read the warning signs. We don't read the flashing warning signs. We don't read the heavens. We don't do anything. But you know what we do? We listen to the idiots on TV tell us what the news is. And remember, Marshall McLuhan said, the medium is the message. What people don't understand about this, electronic communications in themselves are the carrier. And one of the most famous newsmen in history made the statement, the news is what we tell the people. The news isn't what happens. The news is the agenda. The agenda is the mind control vehicle. And by the way, Nathan, I don't know how it is out in your area, but in Bozeman, Montana, I left for Hawaii, came back, and 1 week later, there was the strangest high-powered Gwen Tower. I know the difference between Gwen Towers and cell towers, between Belgrade, which is where the airport is, in Bozeman, which is, you know, it's probably 8 miles away from the town center. And I mean, literally, I got a call. They're putting these things up all over. So, ladies and gentlemen, you must cover yourselves with the blood of Jesus. You must take the Ephesians. I must take. We must take the Ephesians, full armor of God, and we must seek Him like we've never sought Him before. Because again, we are in the most perilous time where, again, I was at that point that Nathan Leal was having a vision over, and the Lord is telling me this is ground zero, not even knowing what Nathan said and expecting. And I did say this too. I guess I didn't finish my statement there. I'm sorry about that. I said, Lord, if it happens now, I'm toast. Because when that thought came into my mind, it's funny, the last place I want to be at ground zero, but I happened to be there by, I would say, the intervention and leading of God, knowing that the Lord knows how much I wanted to take pictures of the Nepali coast and the rest of Hawaii. Some of the most beautiful waterfalls in the world are in the center of the Waimea Canyon and stuff. So the point is that we're at a point, at a contact point, Nathan, where our knees will either contact the ground, our hearts will either contact the King of Heaven, or we're going to get contacted, and I don't think we're going to like what touches our lives.
Amen. And as you were mentioning the stupor, the slumber, you know, Steve, in Jeremiah 15:51, he talks about Babylon, and he talks about the slumber that was over the people, and we even see that today because they had no love for the truth. There's a great delusion. Even amongst God's people, they're sleeping. They're the walking zombies, Steve, and you try to warn them and their eyes glaze over and they want to deny it and argue and fight and mock and scoff. So this is a battle amongst the remnant of God. And I constantly say on these programs, and I want to encourage everyone listening, please, listener, do not give up in warning your family members. Keep praying for them. And I know that some people say that America is beyond repentance, and that may be for the general big crowd, but as far as like a lost daughter or lost son or family members, I believe as parents, please, my friends, do not give up that challenge to continue praying for your loved ones, because this is game on, Steve. We're coming around the final lap of this judgment. It's going to get very, very, very dark and scary in the days ahead.
Well, let me share this. Before you and I went on the air, one of my, there are three intercessors, four intercessor ladies that I, you know, I just want to bless in Jesus' name. But they're, one of them, Annette, is praying and fasting for us tonight that God would literally break the scales keeping people from seeing what we're talking about, Nathan, and absolutely, you know, let them hear like they've never heard before. And my prayer was, let them hear like their lives depend on it, because they do.
What word would you give to the islands of Hawaii right now, Steve, that are listening?
I would say I would give the same message, okay? You had a marvelous move of the Holy Ghost, and I got to tell you, there are some amazing Christians in Hawaii. But also there are some high places. They have a Buddhist temple in Kauai that has a 300-pound crystal, and there's a lot of New Age stuff there. The New Age, you can chant all you want. You can practice achieving nirvana all you want, but that's not going to stop what's going to happen. I'll be turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray, Nathan, and I pray that the listeners and our Romy and Kathy and Manette and those who are called to be intercessors, you pray that there will be such an outpouring of dreams and visions to the Hawaiian people themselves. Whether they're Islanders or they're Haoles, you know, people who have moved over there. The bottom line is that everybody's going to have a quickening. That word quickening means to make alive, as you know. So with that quickening will come a new revelation. Just how? Listen, I know about nuclear war. I mean, I've written books on this stuff and all this stuff during the Cold War and everything. But you know what? As the Lord is so merciful to me, I couldn't see what was right before my eyes until I'm literally flying over in a helicopter and until literally a P-3 Orion's landing 100 feet above my head on the runway and God saying, you're at ground zero. And I thought, you know, I'm the guy that says you want to be where everyone else isn't, and yet I didn't know that. So when you told me that, again, I want to share this with people. Please, ladies and gentlemen, this is the most apparent witness to a dreamer, a vision, a man of God, Nathan Leal has had, that I have ever seen in real time. That instant. In other words, I don't have anything, Nathan, to relate to it. And I lived in the world of supernatural conversion, supernatural miracles, watching God transform heroin addicts from being full-fledged, full-on heroin addicts to going cold turkey in a 60-second blast of the Holy Ghost, okay? I'm talking real stuff. So the thing is that I'm telling people, please, please, this is not to be taken lightly. You know, again, every single person that I know of wants to tie it to this time or that time. I'll tell you this, repentance is good any time, you know. And again, you know, somebody just sent me an email, Jackie in New York, and she lives there, and she's a wonderful sister in the Lord. It's amazing to me that she's talking about all the ferries that go between Staten Island and Jersey, the shipyard, the containers, you know. And you know, if there's any place that has pushed, I'd say this, people need to understand. You can be open and you can be understanding and you pray for those who have alternate lifestyles, but alternate lifestyles coupled with the selfishness and greed. It wasn't just sodomy that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was their selfishness, their greed, and in New York City, every single aspect of the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah is begging for an equal, how should we say this, historic rendezvous with a holy God.
Across the land, Steve, there is great darkness, and in the midst of that, there are God's raising up people. People are starting to hear his voice. There's the music. That hour went by too fast, Steve. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing those things, and hopefully in the future we can finish this conversation. Does that sound good?
Well, thank you, Nathan. And again, you don't know what a blessing it was for you to track me down. I didn't know you were trying to track me down until I got back. And when I did, I went, wow. I mean, it truly blew me away. Bless you. Bless everyone listening tonight, Nathan. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, that was Steve Quayle helping me to try to understand this latest warning from God. Folks, take this very, very seriously. We are in very perilous times right now. It's time for all of us to meet God in repentance. My friends, continue the fight, and we'll see you next week. Stay safe. I love you. Bye-bye.